Do you want to introduce it?
Sure. This is an update on the food safety and water quality issue that we've been working on. At the last board meeting, we provided an update, and the board gave us direction to stay on top of this issue and to continue to work with the California Department of Food and Ag and other agencies and groups to make sure that whatever happens with this issue, that water quality continues to be protected. California Department of Food and Ag held a hearing in January. I think it was January 12th. I'm not sure of the date, but and it was in Monterey, and they had a hearing to consider adoption of a marketing agreement. The marketing agreement would put into place a board. It would create a board made up of mostly ag industry members, representatives, with one seat from the public. And this board would develop and put in place management practices for farms that would be put in place for the purpose of protecting public health and preventing bacterial outbreaks such as we've seen in the past. And we have concern about those practices, not all of them, but a few of them, that would involve the removal of vegetation, specifically the removal of vegetative management practices or the reduction in the use of vegetative management practices, denuding of riparian areas, and fencing projects in riparian areas. So those are our main concerns. We went to the hearing, and Board Member Jeffrey spoke about our concerns about water quality. I also spoke and mentioned that when the agency, the Department of Food and Agriculture, adopts the marketing agreement and puts the process in place, we wanted to see them use a process that included other organizations besides just industry, and that includes agencies and environmental groups and farm groups, to come up with practices that would protect both water quality and food safety, because we firmly believe that that is possible. So they, my understanding is that the Food and Ag Department did adopt the marketing agreement, and the management practices are currently in draft form and are being revised as we speak, I believe. And Allison's going to follow up, because she has been having, I think, great discussions with all of the different players, and we are making some progress. So, Allison, you're up.
Right, thanks. A couple of things that just happened real recently that I think are positive. One was that we were invited to participate in a panel discussion at a group called California Roundtable for Ag and the Environment last week. And this is a group that I wasn't real familiar with, although I know some of the participants. But they are they've been meeting for a couple of years, and their real goal is to try to support agriculture, sustainable agriculture in California. And their members include Farm Bureau and Cattlemen's, as well as Natural Resources Defense Council, EPA, Nature Conservancy. There's about 20 or so of them. And they've been meeting on a regular basis in a sort of a facilitated meeting style. And so they asked a panel of us, myself, Daniel Mountjoy from NRCS, and Trevor Suslow, so, you know, the same players in a way, to come and talk to them and give them some background and information on this issue. At the same meeting, so we did that. At the same meeting, Western Growers, Hank Gickless from Western Growers, who's really the lead on the developing these metrics, these food safety guidelines, was at the meeting as well. So there was an opportunity for people to give him a little bit of input and raise some concerns. And so I think that as a direct result of that meeting, he said they'd already posted the metrics, but he set up a conference call with several of us that occurred on Wednesday and started, you know, making some changes in trying to address some of the concerns that all of us had about the metrics as they stand now. So we got partway through. He did make some changes in the draft based on input from the various people that were participating in the conference call, and that was including us, NRDC, NRCS, EPA, Nature Conservancy, Marine Fisheries participated in that call. Fish and Game was also, you know, in a conference call. So what's happening, I think, is there's a recognition by Western Growers that this you know, there's a lot of concern out there and that they need to have a little more open dialogue. And he, to his credit, he's been pretty open to that discussion. So where we left it was they're under tremendous pressure because this marketing agreement has just been certified by CDFA, so they're really under a lot of pressure from CDFA, Food and Drug, and I don't know exactly who all else to get these things finalized. So he said if you can get it, if we could get him some comments and some word changes by the end of this week, they would try to incorporate that. So that's where it stands right now. We're putting together, people are working on it right now to try to put together some suggested wording changes and some questions and comments on the proposed guidelines. So that's kind of the what I know right now. There's the other things that kind of came up in conversation with him and with CDFA on this marketing agreement is they envision a technical, some sort of a science advisory to the panel, to this board that's going to be appointed. So I think there's opportunities there to have ongoing dialogue and some input on the science of it. So we're going to continue to pursue more dialogue, more discussion before these things, even if they do get adopted. So,
Mr. Hayashi.
Have you had a direct conversation with Secretary Kamura?
I've spoken with him at a meeting back in October when we, SAMFAR convened a meeting. I had just a chance to actually give him our letter, one of our earlier letters, so raised some of our concerns.
But you haven't talked to him recently?
I have not.
Would you like to?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to talk to him? I'll set up a meeting. Because he called me. We've had numerous conversations over this E-coli ideal and what's going on. Because, you know, he's a grower in Orange County. His family still grows. So he has some of the same concerns that we have. And this quote unquote desert buffer, 30 feet that's being proposed is not the answer. I mean, you have these little whatever is a deer, whatever rabbit that wants to come to your field, and he sees all he's looking at is the lettuce over there. He's not looking at this buffer. This 30-foot buffer. All that gives him is just a runway, just to get there quicker. You know, I mean, that's all it is. And I had conversations with him, and he agrees with that. So you know,
well,
I know.
I'd love to talk to him. I think what else is interesting is when we spoke with Western growers. In their mind, they weren't saying that this was supposed to be bare ground because I asked directly, "Does this have to? You know, is this what is this 20 feet? What could be on this?" This buffer and said he didn't see it as necessarily being bare ground. So when we made our comments, we actually changed wording and added wording saying this is not implied bare ground.
A putting green maybe. But
you
also understand that the growers are under the scrutiny of the buyers. And the buyers are the ones that are dictating all this to us. So and this is the hard part that the ag community is having.
Yeah.
You know, we understand that water quality is water quality. If we don't have clean water, we can't grow and produce a consumable crop. If we can't do that, then what's the use? But on the other side of the coin now, so let's say we're producing this crop and these buyers dictate to us that we have to jump through all these hoops. The next question is asked is that if they could go somewhere else and buy that same product for less money, are they going to go there or are they going to stay with us? That's the question that's going through the ag community right now.
Yeah.
Which is why you should have economists studying this as well.
Well, Mr. Hayashi, maybe you can facilitate Allison getting in contact with the secretary.
I will call him after the meeting today or Monday and see what we can do about getting a meeting with him.
That'd be great.
Do we have anybody, I mean, are they looking at you to go on this leafy green committee?
If they set up a science science panel? Is that what you're referring to?
No, I mean, they're setting up a committee to...
The advisory board?
Advisory board.
By statute, the advisory board can only consist of members of the regulated community, so they're planning to split it between growers and grower shippers. Mm-hmm. No, actually, this is a... This marketing agreement won't cover growers, so it's wholesalers and grower shippers, which are defined as wholesalers. But the growers were very concerned that they get grower shippers on there to get the growers' perspective.
So we are
there's one member of the public, and WGA is who nominates the members or the regulated community. But basically, WGA nominated the members, and the person they nominated was a former Food and Ag board member from Imperial, I think. I don't remember the name. I'm sure you would know him. So there can be one public member, and I don't know if Food and Ag is going to take that nomination. Food and Ag is the one that does the appointment. So we were hoping to see a public member that would be someone more willing to work with the non-ag community to address other people's concerns. There's consumer concerns and environmental concerns. I think, and I don't know if that's going to happen. If they're starting this science advisory panel, if they're really going to be accepting input, I think that's a good sign. But as far as one of our staff getting on the panel, I don't think that's something that's going to happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Press.
Is there more to your presentation?
No.
Then I have a question or just a comment. Your staff report talked about consideration of region-wide water quality regulations for grazing and livestock. And that's interesting, and I just wanted to support that. I'm not suggesting we rush headlong into livestock regulation. That would be like certain people rushing headlong into scorched earth policies without any data. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that we explore that and we direct some research or at least support information gathering to go in that direction, and including wild sources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. We're right now we're determining what research do we need to do to answer the question. Or even to form questions, really. But we don't know what the impact is from grazing, and so we need to do ask the initial questions. What information do we need to answer the overall question? That's where we're at right now.
And I believe some of the people at the conference are wildlife and rangeland specialists that are, so some of those issues will be touched on, I'm sure.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions?
Well, I'd just like to make a comment, Mr. Chair, since I represented this board and you at that conference, that it's obvious that they didn't want to hear what I had to say because they cut me off several times. And I thought it was a very discourteous act upon another state agency at least hear us, what we had to say, whether they took it or not. But I thought they were very discourteous to us, and I tried to talk to them about having Allison and Michael follow my presentation so there would be some continuity, and they absolutely would not do that. And but anyway, we did our best.
Good. Michael.
Just to follow up on that, is I think it's interesting that, you know, the way it should work is that our agencies should work together to resolve these issues and not put people like farmers in between us in the middle. And we're not doing that very well. But then when we have someone, we're lucky enough to have someone like Allison Jones working with us who is making progress.
Yeah.
You know, doing this collaborative approach, talking to people in common sense and reasonable terms, and that's what's working.
Well, I think I've heard from several of the ag community in this area that, you know, they've got to sell their crop, and they knew this policy was coming down, and they've basically gone out and stripped their vegetation out. And they said, you know, if you're going to find me, then you find me. That's
right.
But if I can't sell my crop, what am I going to do?
After the conference, I had farmers saying the same thing to me, is that they're they're smart people. You know, they're saying it's risk management. I sell my crop, or I face a potential liability from regulatory agencies. Which am I going to do? I'm going to sell my crop.
I think one of the things that is hardest to get a handle on and figure out some way to have dialogue is with buyers, because really there's where the power and the pressure is coming from, and we're working on that, try to figure out some ways to.
And you know, that difficulty tells me that they're really not interested in getting down to the level of knowing what's going to work and what isn't. But it's more the appearance that they're doing something. They're getting the certification, the stamp on the bag, and then they get the sales resuming at the level that it was.
And so then what happens when someone else comes down with E. coli from a field that's been, you know, scorched?
Yeah, which will happen.
Whose idea was this in the first place, came up with this idea of clearing the shrubs away from the...
I think it's been going on for a while. The third-party auditors, I mean, you know, the perception that wildlife, whatever level of risk, wildlife, and it's not just E. coli. I mean, it's also getting bug parts in your bagged lettuce and things. So there's that risk management strategy on the part of buyers, I think, that's driving a lot of that.
My understanding is that the large buyers like Walmart and Vons, they sent a letter to Western growers and said, you must deal with this situation. You must reduce the risk from these sources. I haven't seen the letter, but that's what I've been told. And they're reacting to it. I think Allison is right. The buyers have auditors in the field, and those auditors have their own opinions, their own beliefs, and they're making decisions based on that.
We have our own we have our own third-party auditor that comes to the ranches. They test our water. They test, they go through our cooler, they go through our packing shed, they look for anything, you know, and then they put the report, and the report goes on the internet, and it's there for all the buyers to see how we fared in our inspection. So we have nothing to hide. I mean, it's just that it's beyond our control at this point.
Okay, if there's no more questions, let's...